3-0, entity of 212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Sound podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired. This week, we are actually on the road in Houston, Texas. Today, we are actually in the workshop of one of our sponsors and very good friends, long lifetime friends, Billy Stewart of ScaryDad.com. How you been, Billy?
Well, man, how are you?
Been fantastic. Why don't you tell us a little bit real quick about ScaryDad.com and everything that you do, because your projects are amazing and fantastic.
Thank you. Well, ScaryDad.com is a thing that happened whenever I kept making Halloween decorations.
Yep.
And stuff for that one special night of the year.
Yep.
And I kept going online. I kept trying to find things. And then realizing that there was nobody that just... There was lots of DIY. There was nobody very personable to just explain why they were doing it.
Sure.
Why are you doing this? What makes it special? And I thought, okay, well, you know, I like to saw some wood. I like to make some things.
And you're about nothing but Halloween.
No, I'm about everything. Everything except for...
Well...
Halloween kind of hits me every day.
Yes, well, and that's what I meant. Is it personally, like you as a person, like every day is Halloween? I mean, I've known you, and just a little backstory here, everybody. I have actually known Billy for 20 years, smooth, easily 20 years. And, you know, my best friend from high school.
More than that.
More than that. my best friend from high school, we actually took wood shop together and technical theater together and theater. It was amazing. And, you know, the guy has always had just an extreme talent for, I mean, even right here behind us is one of his projects that he did this last Halloween, where it's a Jack Skellington and his lady. And it's absolutely fantastic and realistic. His blogs are absolutely amazing. And the reason that we're having him on today is, the podcast is about music, it's about audio, but it's really about what it takes to do all of it. And what I love about Billy, and, you know, he's been in a hugely successful band here locally called Thunderpants, which is just a phenom. They played, you know, House of Blues every New Year's Eve, all kinds of stuff. But the theme of the show tonight is completion. Seeing a project through from inception to completion. And Billy is somebody who is not only an adept songwriter, an adept musician. He is an adept writer as far as poetry, prose, fiction goes. He's a huge horror and thriller writer. And he's started his own blog about, you know, everything involving Halloween, horror, and, you know, theatrics. It's absolutely amazing. So tell us a little bit about that process.
Oh, wow. Okay. It was a good introduction, man. Well, let's see. I don't know. Years ago, you and I used to hang out in a restaurant. And back when you could smoke in restaurants. They didn't let you, you know, they don't let you do that anymore.
No.
You used to be able to do that. And I don't know, man. There's something in a creativity mindset. It's got nothing to do with smoking, but, you know, no. you used to go sit down and write stuff. And
well, and that was a ritual for us. Easy, and like the JoJo's down the road, I wouldn't even say they knew us by name. They just knew us.
They're either going to puke on things.
Yeah, yeah. I did that a couple times.
Well, because see, what used to happen was...
Dirty secrets, ladies and gentlemen.
I would go used to write things. I would sit down with a cup of coffee and a notebook and start trying to write stuff. And then I would catch up with this guy.
Yes.
And we would go out and drink a lot. And then I'd have him drop me off back
at JoJo. Yeah, yeah.
And then we'd just puke on the floor.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that was the 90s when those things were acceptable.
Well, and not only that, but when JoJo's had a bar.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you used to be able to order a shot while you were having breakfast at 3 in the morning?
Those were good times.
It was an amazing time. But, I mean, we really did a lot of creation at that point. I mean, you know, we even had a couple of ventures that we started together. You know, a little beading project, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, we were young. We were in our early 20s. And we had the vision. We didn't necessarily have the full drive, I don't think.
We were in our late teens, actually.
Well, yeah. But
to be fair, yeah, what happened was, you know, it's very easy to sit down with an idea and you say, okay, this idea is great. I've got the greatest idea for the great American novel.
Yep.
And you sit down and you're like, this guy goes on the road. And then nothing ever comes of it.
Yeah.
You write,
guy's still on the road 10 years later.
Fucking, yeah. that guy just gets left. You start writing the page, and you're like, this guy, he's on the road, and the road is long, and there's cars going by, and you're thinking about it, and you're like, man,
the road is long and wet.
It's raining. Like,
it's always raining.
You have all kinds of great ideas. But then, you know, you have to go back to work the next day.
Yeah,
but
life comes back in.
The hangover comes off, and you're like, okay, that was a great idea, and I'll get back to it. I've got some other ideas. I've got this idea about another guy that goes to the Renaissance Festival and I don't know, buys something.
Yeah, like goes into another realm through an Ivy Terrace.
I'm doing left-handed, but you know, you write some stuff down in your notebook, and you go, this would be a great idea if it actually ever anything happens with it. And then the world turns.
Absolutely.
Life happens, and, you know, you start thinking, you know, it's like, man, a couple girlfriends ago, I had this idea about the guy who went on the road, and I never really finished it. The guy's still standing there in the rain.
Yep.
Like, if you've ever read a story that really mattered, and it didn't end the way you thought it should, and you're like, man, that guy should have done this, or he should have done that, or whatever. Then you come back to some of your old ideas, and you're like, man, I should have just written that out.
I should have seen it through. I should have played the tape, so to speak.
I should have just written the next page, and even if it's very, very short, even if he's out on the road in the rain, and then he gets hit by a bus, that's the end, but at least something happened.
Yep.
And you have all this notebook.
There's full, a denouement.
You have this notebook full of unfulfilled ideas.
Yep.
And then you start realizing that your life is full of unfulfilled ideas. That, man, I really should have studied this in college. I really should have done this or done that or done this other thing.
Absolutely.
So you get a little bit older and a little bit wiser. Again, the world turns just a little bit, and you start realizing, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things like...
Well, and the founding of Scary Dad for you, I remember distinctly us sitting outside right out here at your barbecue pit, having a beer and sitting back, just hanging out, and you talking about just the concept and whether or not you should even go through with it. And I was like, why would you not go through with it? Like, number one, as far as an independent writer or somebody who just writes for fun, you're hands down one of the best writers. And you know me, I'm not a fiction fan. I mean, I'll sit back with an instruction manual all day long and read it front to back 3 or 4 times and love it, you know? Like, I just spent 8 hours the other day flipping through an instruction manual. It was all about it. But you sit me down with a work of fiction, and it's hard.
Was it an IKEA?
No, it was not. It was not. It was not a Flurg. though I do own a Flurg. Thank you, IKEA. Not sponsored, by the way. But literally, you know, even though you know you're good at something, the self-doubt that can come in, the self-doubt that can creep in and that can really hold you back from your full potential is phenomenal. So speak a little bit on your apprehensions, even as of late, even as of the last 6 months, as to Scary Dad and what you're looking to and things like that.
Well, to answer your first question, Scary Dad kind of came of a, I don't know, like, I started this website, and it was very, I don't know, it was kind of a copy of a copy of a copy. And I had a good idea, I think, and I think it could have worked, I don't know. But when I was writing for that website, I felt like I was just regurgitating
other people's material.
Other people's material.
Sure.
Okay, stuff I heard in the news. Here's my opinion that was blown up on anything before I could even get home.
Sure.
You know, there were forum comments that were just as good as anything I was writing.
Yep.
And Scary Dad hit me, honestly, the way Scary Dad happened was, I have a little girl, and she was playing around and doing stuff, and blah, 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 and I turned around one day, and she came around behind the couch, and I was like, boo! It scared her, and she started crying.
Natural reaction. You've scared me before.
And I was like, I had to pick her up and pat her on the back, and I'm like, oh, baby, I'm sorry I'm such a scary dad. Whoa, wait a second.
There, just kind of resonated, yeah.
It's like, I love Halloween. I've always loved Halloween.
Absolutely.
And it's not just about trick-or-treat, but it's about the pranks. It's about the whole thing. One night a year, you can just go outside. You can wear a mask. You can be anything you want to be.
Yeah, the concept of masquerade.
You can be
absolutely
anything you want to be. And honestly, it doesn't feel like the more outside of yourself you are, the better you're received.
Yep.
It's like, I would have never thought you would wear a suit. That's why I'm wearing a suit.
Yep.
I wear a suit every day. I would have never thought you'd be Aquaman. Okay, well, you know, I'm Aquaman
today. Aquaman I am.
And if you can get in the mindset of just being who you want to be in the moment.
Exactly.
That's what Scary Dad was about. And so I started writing. It's a little bit tough as a to quantify, I guess. I don't know the right word, but it's a little bit tough to say this is what Scary Dad is supposed to be. Because
yes.
Scary Dad was me saying, these are all of these things that I love, and this is my opinion about them.
Yep.
This is music. This is art.
Music, story. Art, stories, movies, everything. Everything, yeah.
Everything put together. And so what I did was, you know, I took that other website and I piggybacked off of it and made a new one. It was scarydad.com.
Yep.
And started writing. It was much easier because it's much more fun to write about, you know, movies that I'd liked and costumes and projects and different things. It was so much easier to write than the other stuff, which was, I criticize it as derivative, and it is, but I'll get you.
Let's go with the Jurassic Park concept of you stood on the shoulders of geniuses. And I literally recently, a friend of mine Facebooked me, a very good friend, Israel Thomas, or Thompson rather, he'll kill me for getting that wrong. I'm sorry, Israel. But he's moved from web development into photography. And, you know, he sent me not too long ago a Facebook post saying, you know, you're so entrepreneurial, you know, you start all this stuff, you know, the pedal mod business, the podcast, everything else. You're truly an inspiration. And he's been sending me a lot of blog posts and things like that from entrepreneurs. And one of them was literally about the neuroses of the self-employed. And the fact that you got to be a certain type of crazy to want to do this.
I think that self-employed or not, when it comes to a project like this one, like any of them, like sure. Scary Dad, like Hats and Guns, like whatever you're doing, you mentioned earlier, just seeing it through. There are so many times where you just want to stop.
Yeah.
You're just like, first of all, I'm not this good. Second, I'm not this good.
Sure, sure.
There are so many people out there who are better than me that are doing it. And there's other people that are better than me that are doing it badly. They're failing.
Sure.
The internet has this thing where people who would have never been seen before are into the stratosphere of success.
Absolutely.
And then there's other people who are just as good as them that have 50 followers.
Yep.
And they're struggling. And I guess I'm one of those guys.
Hey, I'm right there with you. We have a modicum of followers, and they're great and they're awesome, and I love every one of them. Every one of them. Whenever I get a Spreaker report every week, and I do, you know, I get my numbers and stuff like that, and I see that podcasts have been listened to 50 times that week. It's like, I have no idea who is listening to my podcast 50 times. But, oh my God, the fact that I have even 25 people listen to two of them. I don't care. That's phenomenal. There are 25 people out there that want to hear what I have to say and what my guests have to say.
I get a comment. Like a blog comment. On
yeah, it's a toasting occasion, man.
It's a blog comment that on Scary Dad that says, you know, you're full of shit. And I'm like, whoa, you're in Indiana.
Just sweet. And we were talking, oddly enough, we were talking just before broadcast about the concept of art and what makes art.
Right.
And I was defining the fact that for me, art is what moves you. So even if that dude came and commented on the fact that you are full of horse pucky about Jason Voorhees, hey, you know what? At least what you wrote elicited a comment, man.
In Indiana.
In Indiana. Across the country.
And these are the sorts of things that make you want to do stuff.
Exactly. They're the things that fire you up.
Well, and so that makes you need to finish projects.
Exactly. Whenever you see something like that, it really instills in you the confidence to say, if this dude in Indiana has something to say, you know, imagine how people, this is just the dude that had something to say that was like, hey, I disagree with you. Imagine how many people agreed with you and didn't have anything to say because what you said was absolutely right.
Right. And I love comments. I love negative comments.
Absolutely.
I love all of that. But what makes me need to finish a project? You asked before.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. You can edit it out. I thought one of your little lights was blinking weird.
No, it's not blinking weird.
So it might have been one of mine behind the camera. I don't know, but I'm sitting here being like, what the hell is that thing?
Okay. Finishing a project.
Finishing a project, whether it's the blog post, whether it's the story, whether it's the Jack and Sally, whether it's anything else. You're allowed to defend the things that you make. You're not allowed to defend the things you haven't made yet.
Absolutely.
Everybody that comes over, like, and I'm stuck in this right now because I'm in the middle of writing a book.
Yes.
Okay. Stephen King said, write with the door closed, edit with the door open. Which means if all of your ideas, just write them down, get them out, make them yours.
Yep.
And once they're there, you can invite commentary.
Yes.
But until it's done.
Yeah, well, until you're happy with your product to begin with.
Well, truth of the matter is, if you write a story and you've only got one page of 20 pages, you don't have a story.
No, no. You have an idea, as we were discussing before.
If I come outside and I'm trying to make this, and I use a jigsaw and I saw some wood, and then I've got a couple of scrap pieces of plywood, I don't have a thing. It's just not there.
Well, and it goes back.
I've got a great idea, and a lot of the things that you were talking about earlier, like a lot of our projects that we did.
Yep.
Because of time, because of money, because of space.
Even because of life. Life happens.
Because we didn't finish them. 20 years later, we look at those things and say, man, those were good ideas.
But
hey, guess what? 20 years later, those good ideas are still paper in a folder.
Yep. Absolutely. Even tonight, you know, I brought in the designs for the new Austin Hot Mods pedal board that you're going to be making. And I brought it in a folio that my mom gave me in seventh grade for my family and friends. You know, y'all know that my whole life I've been inventing, making electronic projects, things like that, since I was about 7, 8 years old. And my mom encouraged it to an extent. You know, she was very upset about a lot of things, but she gave me a folder at one point that was literally a folio folder, you know, where you put it's just 10 or 20 insert pages where you can insert your own stuff and present a project. And she was like, this is for all of your inventions. And for years I had sketches and ideas in there that, I mean, you know, good Lord, they were nothing. But now that I actually read schematics and draw schematics and, you know, understand that language, like, I actually brought it to her this weekend, and I was like, I just want you to see this 20-something years later. Like, you gave this to me when I was in seventh grade, and even more than, I'm 39, man. Like, it's like 25 years later, you know? Like, here it is, and it's actually doing what you gave it to me for. It actually holds projects that are real, concrete. These pedals exist. They are made. And even for me personally, in the last week and a half, to put those pages in that notebook and feel that completion, like, wow, man, like, literally that notebook was a lifetime in the making, a lifetime.
Dude, you say completion. There's no completion.
No.
I know.
Dude, I'm an engineer. You're forever growing. The industry is forever
always
growing. And, you know, the thing that I love about it is the fact that, same here, it's, you know, it's a never-ending process. Whenever you are creating, whenever you're making things, whenever you are starting an idea from scratch, it is everything that you put into it from the beginning. And I want to go into the concept of a band. If you don't mind, I want to go into Thunderpants a little bit. Okay. Because I remember when I moved to Maine was right as you started Thunderpants. And it was a concept at the time. And it was a great concept. And it was basically a, you know, 80s cover band with costumes and the full regalia. I mean, y'all had like toilet paper blowers. It was just a huge, crazy party every time that y'all played. But the fact that y'all put forethought into the project before you built it, the fact that you made this project, and the beautiful thing was, before you even created it, you already had your swagger. You already had your swagger down before you ever had your first show. And, you know, that's really a lot of what it takes. It really does take that chutzpah. It takes that, like, someone, whenever you leave the room, someone going, are you serious about that guy? You know, but that's absolutely what it takes. It takes that mentality of, I can do this and I am good at this. And other people need to know about this.
Well, to be fair, with Thunderpants,
you had a lot of talent backing the band as well. Sick amount of talent.
Not at the beginning.
It grew. But, man, when I saw y'all were wrecking shop, son. It was a show of shows.
Thunderpants is still playing.
Yep.
I've been not with them for a long time.
Well, it's a new incarnation.
But the thing about Thunderpants and building a band was, yes, there was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not an original idea. It was somewhat original to Houston market. But,
sure.
We had an idea that was... Nobody had done this here. And so we thought, naively, all we had to really do was dress in costumes, be loud and obnoxious, and by the end of the day, we'd be on the circuit. And that's not exactly how
it is. Not exactly true. Not exactly true.
No.
But y'all did take some stuff by Barnstorm.
Well, you know, what happened was, when you're in a band with people, for us it was always five guys. Those five guys changed.
Yeah.
It's five or six guys now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had ideas of how a band should be. Terrence had ideas about how a band should be.
Sure.
Dennis had ideas about how a band should be. We went with Dennis's idea. And.
Great idea.
It was a great idea. I'm not complaining. But
no, man. It was successful chemistry for.
Yeah, well, you know, you haven't stood in front of a whole bunch of pissed off rednecks.
No.
Dressed in a dress.
No, I haven't. I have not.
Yeah, so.
Lately.
So you know, there was that. There has been many times in Thunderpants where I stood with my guitar ready to be used as a club.
Well,
because we weren't doing it right for what the audience thought we should be doing.
True.
No, I did it. So, the idea worked. Once we got a little bit of movement behind us, nobody could touch us.
Yeah.
We were doing well. But that starting off, everybody wanted to quit.
Yep.
And everybody said, you know, we've got a really good idea. We'd go into practice and be like, man, those guys wanted to kill us.
Yep.
Okay, well, whatever. Dude,
yeah. We played neither country nor Western.
Right. We said, okay, you know, let's just practice these songs. Let's get these other ones down. Let's do this. And again, you know, you're with five guys. It's five different ideas.
Uh-huh.
But I was in it, and it was my band, and I really wanted it to work. And my attitude was, I don't care. I've got a guitar I can use as a club. I don't care.
Right.
We'll just keep playing these clubs. We'll just
keep on beating down if we got to.
One day I'm going to have to smack a bitch with a Les Paul. I don't know.
But
we made it past that, and once we started getting up there, we said, "Man,
well, that's just it. It's the scrapping attitude. You really do have to have that attitude of, you know, we're gonna have to go Andy Dufresne on this, man, and we're gonna have to friggin' chip our way through a brick wall for 3 years."
Mm-hmm.
And then find our way through the poop pipe for a couple few football fields so that we can come up and be in the fresh, cool rain. And, you know, you really do have to see the longevity of a project from the beginning. And if you can't see the longevity of it...
That was a metaphor, dude.
It was. That's hardcore. I'm not even a writer, dude. But I got away with words. And, you know, It's really about seeing things for the longevity, being able to see things in the bigger picture, the long haul, and the forest for the trees. Really and truly, you know, the devil is in the details, but you really have to have a broad show to even get into details.
Our first Thunderpants show, we played at a redneck bar off of Huffmeister, and these guys wanted to kill us. I thought we were going to die.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about it on the phone.
The last Thunderpants show I played was, I think, at the House of Blues. It wasn't a House of Blues, it was a wedding, but it was pretty close to. And we were making money.
Good bank.
And everybody who saw us loved us. So, you have to take those little punches at the beginning because, dude, this was not creative differences. This was a guy with the pool cue trying to kill you.
Yeah. Who really didn't like what you were doing.
He really didn't
appreciate what you were doing at all, artistically or not.
And then at the end, when I quit, everybody's like, man, why would you quit such a wonderful band? You know, I had my own reasons to quit. And most of them had to do with, you know, wife and kids.
Life happens.
Life happens.
We were talking about that before show.
But you got to see it through.
Yeah.
If you've got a great idea about something, you have to see where it goes. You can't just leave it in the minder and be like.
Well, and that's just it. And, you know, as we get close to the close here, I want to ask you two things. Number one. We were talking before broadcast about the possibility of a Scary Dad podcast. Yes or no?
Yes.
Fantastic. Love it. Can't wait to be a part of helping you get that going. Number two, I literally just forgot it left my head. And I can't remember for the life of me what it is. All too common whenever I'm with Billy, we often complete each other's thoughts and completely forget them at the same time.
Number two
is now number two, and
it's time to write.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, please feel free to visit us online. There on the website, www.talkingsoundshow.com. On the website, you can find all of the technical articles, all of the blogs, all of the podcast episodes in both audio and video format. You can visit us on YouTube. Go onto YouTube and search Talking Sound Podcasts. You can also find us on Spreaker/Talking Sound Show, as well as SoundCloud/Talking Sound Podcast.
That wasn't water.
No. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I am Chris Jordan, your host for the Talking Sound Podcast. This has been Billy Stewart in the shadows here from scarydad.com. And please, everybody, until next time, keep reaching for 11. We'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.